Welcome and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants will be able to listen only until the question and answer session of the conference. At that time, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star one. I would also like to remind participants that today's conference is being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I will turn the meeting over to Mr. Don Vucic. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you very much, and thank you everybody for joining the call today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Don Vucic. I manage our product management team for Maximo. And what I wanted to do today is cover our internal service provider offering. The internal service provider offering is relatively new. We came out with it about a year ago, and we've seen some pretty good traction with the product, and so I just want to make sure this highlights the key features. If you turn to slide two, this outlines the topics we'll cover today. First, the internal service provider landscape, so a general understanding of the product in the market, then the target customer market, so more specific, the types of customers we should be targeting with this offering, a functionality overview, then we'll hit pricing with some pricing examples, and then we'll get into the question and answer session. If you turn to slide three, this is an outline of the service provider landscape. So the way we see it, there's really two, the service provider market can really be divided up into two distinct segments. The first is external service providers, and this is kind of the classic service provider that most of us think of when we think of service providers. So it's a company that manages services or assets for external companies. And I provide some examples down below. This scenario occurs with on both the IT side and with EAM. Many of the examples that I provided below are also Maximo for service provider customers. So this is the classic example, and we have a pitted product for this external service provider. The second segment of the market is internal service providers, and this is also a separate offering within our family. Internal service providers, and if you are in presentation mode, this slide builds. Internal service providers is someone or a department who is delivering services to other divisions or departments within their organization. So it's not revenue generating. You think about our IT department at IBM, right? They're providing services by giving you a laptop, giving you software, closing break fix tickets, things along those lines. That's a service provider. They're providing services to the rest of the organization, but they're an internal service provider. Facilities, same thing. When Rich Fetcher looks at the mirror and it breaks and somebody has to fix it, that's facilities who does that. That's a service that they're providing to other organizations, to other departments, rather, within the organization. So internal service providers is a distinct segment of the market. I will say the reason we have two offerings here is to hit the two segments of the market appropriately. If you think about it, an external service provider is revenue generating. They're bringing in money into the organization. They have some margins, whether those on the low end range to 8% to on the high end as high as 20%+. An internal service provider, facilities department and IT department, is generally considered more overhead. They're not revenue generating. They are not bringing in revenue to the company, and so they have a much considerably smaller budget. As such, we have two different offerings with two different price points to hit these two segments of the market. Now, again, I'm going to focus on internal service providers with this offering and with this Tivoli Talk today, and that's why I focus on the blue box down below. Now, if you turn to the next slide, we get into the internal service provider landscape. And what this is designed to do is give you a feel for market trends that we're seeing with internal service providers. The first piece is internal departments needing to justify their overall value. So you think about the economy today, most of us, see people losing jobs, companies are constricting. Rich Fetcher is obviously doing very well, but outside of Rich Fetcher, the global economy is suffering an economic crunch. And so internal departments need to focus on justifying their existence. They need to be able to say, here's all of the value that I'm providing to you. I close out 50 work orders a day across, you know, these six buildings. I close 10 service desk tickets on the IT side. I support 700 laptops and 500 desktops. Quantifying the things that they're delivering is a big focus for an internal service provider. A CFO, generally speaking, these departments roll up to a CFO at some point, and the CFO is weighing in saying, you know what, what is it that you're doing? What happens if I reduce my facilities team from 10 people to 5 team? Is there any from 10 people to 5 people? Is there any impact on my business? And so that internal department really needs to justify their existence, and they do that by quantifying their work. And in many parts, they do that by doing chargebacks for the work that they provide. The second piece is internal business audits. And so departments are looking at their effectiveness and trying to understand where they can reduce cost. So you think about it, right? They're saying, okay, from an IT example, they're saying, where are my resources working? And if I understand the volume of work that's coming in, if I understand the volume of service desk tickets, what they're being logged against, what items people are asking me to work on, I understand then how to deploy my resources appropriately, and I understand the skills that they need to have. So if I look at the service desk tickets that are coming in, and 60% of them are on Lotus Notes, well, geez, I better have Lotus Notes trained people on my service desk, right, on my IT team. And so you need to be able to understand exactly what's going on in your organization, and then you need to be able to do that not just for your own efficiency, but because there's a much greater focus on audits now, whether those are external audits for things like SOX and HIPAA and so on, or internal audits at a global company. There's a much greater focus on those, and so you need to be able to justify your workload as it pertains to that audit. And then the final trend that we're seeing for internal service providers is across complex global enterprises. And so, you know, Procter & Gamble is a prime example here. Huge multinational global company with many divisions, many offerings. And what they've done is a consolidated service management. So they've consolidated their IT department and their facilities department to deliver services globally. Now, in order to do that appropriately, they still have to manage for the complexities of the local regions and of their different divisions, right? Different brands within Procter & Gamble might require different service level agreements and different delivery of services or software or maintenance, et cetera. As such, they need software that will allow them to understand their agreements and response times and so on that they're going to provide to the remainder of those global divisions that they support. So as companies get more global, as they have geo-specific differences or as they have department or division-specific differences, the service providers, facilities and IT generally speaking, need to be able to provide those services as appropriate to those divisions and geographies. So these are the major three trends that we're seeing across the internal service provider landscape. If you turn to slide 5, this begins to get into the target customers for an internal service provider. So I'll pick on Rich Fetcher throughout the call. For those of you who don't know, he's one of our sales leaders. As Rich Fetcher goes out and he thinks about what customers he should be targeting with this offering, the first is a facilities management customer. So, you know, as I've been using in my examples, facilities provide services to the rest of the organization, and they fall prey to those same market trends that I mentioned earlier, where they need to justify their existence. They need to be able to say, yes, we need to keep our complete staff in order to deliver this level of service, in order to be able to do the landscaping once a week, in order to keep maintenance on the building up to this particular level. They need to be able to justify that existence, right? And so an internal service provider where our functionality targets them being able to quantify the numbers and quantify their existence is of specific importance to a facilities management customer. And I'll highlight here in the fourth bullet the fact that as we go to Pulse and trade shows and user groups, et cetera, one of the major areas where this scenario comes up is colleges and universities, so higher ed. This is largely because higher ed does quite a lot of chargebacks for their work. So their facilities team at Carleton College, for example, who's a customer, the facilities team at Carleton College charges back for the work that they do. So they charge back the different departments for the number of work orders that they complete within Maximo that are specific to those departments. The only way they can do those chargebacks is by leveraging the internal service provider functionality. So the key is, I think, with this, that the type of customer you want to target are existing FM install base. Carleton College was an example where that was the case. So sell back into the existing facilities management customers. Roughly 20% globally of our Maximo customer base is a facilities management customer. And then any new FM deal. So as you're going forward and positioning facilities Maximo for facilities management, internal service provider can certainly be a component of that. And then this is available, if you look at the last bullet, the internal service provider offering is available on both the Maximo 6X and 7X platforms. Now, if you turn to slide 6, the other target market is IT departments, and I've used them in many examples as well. And so, you know, if you think about IBM and you go to W3 and you look at your profile, for example, you can see actually how IBM is charging your department back for the IT services. You can see a breakout on telecom spend and tickets closed and software rendered and so on and so forth in a nice pretty pie chart. Well, that type of chargeback is delivered via internal service provider. So the IT department is saying, here's all the services I provide, whether that's managing your assets or your telecom or your software or service desk requests, et cetera, et cetera. That's all services that IT is providing. And the way that they manage and understand their resources, the way that they charge back for that work, is with internal service provider functionality. So in this case, that would be TAMIT or TSRM for internal service providers. And as you can see below, those offerings are available on 6X and 7X as well. So depending on the customer market that you're trying to hit, there might be a different variation of the internal service provider product. Now, if you turn to slide 7, I think the key takeaway, you know, is obviously facilities management and IT departments are largely the two target markets. But at the end of the day, we don't need to be constrained to those two markets or customer types. It can really be any department or division that's providing services to other departments or segments of their company. Now, if you turn to slide 8, you know, if you go through the build-up progression here, now let's get into the functionality, right? So how is it that we're helping internal service providers, IT departments, facilities departments, et cetera, provide better service to the rest of their organizations? The first is with enhanced service management capability. And so internal service provider has an offering specifically structured around response plans. And what this is, you think about classic Maximo or TAMIT or TSRM for that matter, with workflow and work orders and job plans. Response plans basically takes that and puts it on steroids, right? It's the ability to daisy chain and tie in a much greater level of the services that you're providing. So let's take the facilities management example I gave earlier, where Rich Fetcher walked into the men's room, looked in the mirror, and the mirror shattered. In that scenario, somebody logs a ticket. Now, so a response plan would take that ticket and say, okay, it came in from this group. It would automatically apply the appropriate SLA, automatically assign the appropriate resource, automatically perhaps send an escalation off to Rich's manager saying, you know, he broke the mirror again, things along those lines. So it's basically automatically triggering your responses based on the type of request that has come in. The point here is it's enhancing that internal department's ability to deliver services to the rest of the organization. Now, if you turn to slide 9, financial management, this is really the first two pieces here, so Key Capability 1 and Key Capability 2, are really the predominant drivers for internal service provider deals. Financial management, you think about this. You think about the scenario I outlined earlier where people want to do chargebacks to other departments for the work that they've provided. So they say, okay, for every service desk ticket that the marketing department logs, I'm going to do an internal chargeback, so an IBM terminology that's blue dollars, of a dollar a ticket, right? And so what internal service provider does is it, you build in that business rule of marketing is a dollar a ticket and sales is $2 a ticket. And you build in the SLAs associated to marketing. So when marketing submits a ticket, I'm going to close it in 2 weeks. And when sales submits a ticket, I'm going to close it in 2 hours. Right? So you build in those SLAs, and then you do chargeback. So the capability here is to total up the work orders, tickets, et cetera, that you've done for those departments, and then do a chargeback to them. So summing it up and charging back to those departments and saying, look, here's the internal summation of the work that I've done and effectively the internal transfer of dollars that you owe me. This is, as I mentioned earlier, obviously very popular in the higher ed department, but it's actually really popular across all segments, all markets, all geos. So I've seen examples of customers doing this across all of our industries and across all of our geos. Chargebacks, or what's often called chargeback and billing, is highly popular both in FM and IT. The next capability is customer management. And so this is really comes into play with those larger multinational companies that have multiple offices and multiple divisions, where you're able to go in and specify the specifics of what you need. I'm calling them customers here. What those end users, what the external divisions, departments, et cetera, what they require. So you're able to go in and say, all right, if it's the marketing department for Product X in France, here's the specifics of what I want to deliver, et cetera. But if it's the marketing department of Product Y in the UK, then here's the different contact people, here's some different segments, here's their different locations, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the key third capability. And then finally is the concept of multi-customer within an internal service provider. And this really only comes into play with those larger multinational companies. So you think about the example of Procter & Gamble or a BP or a DTE, massive global companies. IBM would be a good example. You're able to break out. In fact, let's take IBM as that example. IBM has several brands. Each one of those brands could be a customer. And the IT department or the facilities department could say, all right, if here's my key business information for Tivoli, and I'm going to contain that as a customer because it's different information, and my Tivoli rep and my IT reps who work on Tivoli should really only work on Tivoli. And here's the information for the information management brand, and here's the reps who can work on that, and I'm going to segment that all out, but I want all of that information to be in one database. So it allows a global organization who have technicians working on different departments, et cetera, to maintain all that information in one instance instead of siloed instances, but yet still be able to segment out the data as appropriate. Now, you think about what I just said, right? Many companies, many global companies, will have siloed instances of their facilities management product or their help desk or their IT asset management product, maybe one for each geo, one for each division, et cetera, et cetera. What this is allowing an internal service provider to do is to consolidate all that. That's really a cost reduction play. But as I mentioned, it really comes into play more with the global multinational companies. Now, if you turn to slide 12, we start to get into the pricing examples and how the pricing works. So an internal service provider product has two price metrics. The first is a per install metric. And so the Tivoli pricing rule is that a per-install metric means that applies to every installed environment, development, test, production, training, et cetera, et cetera. The PID for that product, the PID for that metric is D03ZILL. So the second metric is a per-user metric, and I think everybody's pretty familiar with how per-user metrics work across TAMET, TSRM, and Maximo. This is really just for power users. So this is specific to, on the IT side, your IT administrator, the people who are setting up, you know, your SLAs, your response plans, building in your business rules. That is what this metric is for. And that these two metrics together, or two PIDs or CCs together, are the price point that you should use for internal service provider. You can note that our general rule of thumb with the per-user metric is that it'll be roughly 10% of the overall number of users at that customer. Now, I'll give you, before I get into the pricing example, I want to just explain why we set it up this way. The per-user metric is a relatively low price point, and we see quite a lot of value with this offering. And so the thought was, by leveraging both per-install and per-user as the two metrics, what we've done is gotten it up so that the price of a sale for this will still be consumable by an IT department or a facilities department, but it's enough to really make it worthwhile and add some value to the deal. So if we had just left it as a user metric, it really would have been there. So there's not a ton of power users, and so it would have just been a relatively minor price point, and we would have been selling the product for lower than the expected value. And I want to highlight what's down in the italics at the bottom of this slide, and I think this is key. These two metrics apply across all of our internal service provider offerings, whether it's TAMET, TSRM, or Maximo. And I think the key is here, we're trying to maintain some consistency, right? We don't want, as a sales rep, we don't want you to have to go out there and say, all right, well, it's TAMET, and so it's these four metrics, and it's TSRM, so it's this metric. The point is, the pricing and the metrics are the same across every internal service provider offering. We're hoping to make that that consistency will make your job as a sales rep a little bit easier with this product. Now, if you turn to slide 13, we get into a pricing example. And so I'll read through this if you don't mind. The facilities department at a university, as we said, universities are a big target market, wants to do chargeback to the other departments for the work they do around campus. It's an internal service provider because they're not generating revenue and they're not managing assets or services for anybody outside of the university. They have three environments, development, test, and production. They have 20 overall facilities workers, and they have three administrators. The combination of products here are Maximo and Maximo for internal service providers. This, in this scenario, it's a greenfield deal, so they don't have any Maximo in place at the start of the deal. So in total, what you would want to position, and these are U.S. prices, so these will vary across the globe, but in total, they have 23 total Maximo users, and so you can see the math there, 4470 times 23. They have three total environments, so that's the per-install metric, and you can see the math and how that totals out. And then they have three internal service provider users, so those are the three administrators, and you can see the math and how that works out there. So the total size of this deal for this number of users would be $150,000 U.S., and the key is, in this example, internal service provider added almost $50,000 to the deal. And that's right about what we think the sweet spot target market is, or price point is for this offering. It's right about what we expect. Obviously, this is list price, not discounted. But we expect, you know, roughly three environments, and we expect a portion of 10%, give or take, of your total user base to be those internal service provider users. And so I would expect on a deal right about this size that that's just going to add about $50,000 U.S. of value to the deal. If you turn to slide 14, we get into the summary. And so I'm going to highlight a couple of key takeaways. The first is, we're really the only company to have this software vendor, if you will, to have this combination of functionality. As I've looked across EAM and IT, most products do not have this combination. They might have some portions of it, but not this combination of functionality within their offering. So it's a differentiator. It's a offering that sells to both EAM and IT, so TAMET, TSRM, and Maximo. And as I mentioned, we're actually got a pretty healthy development roadmap for service providers in general, of which a segment is internal service providers. And so there's pretty healthy R&D investment in this offering. And then the final bullet is, you know, as I mentioned, this offering has been around for give or take about a year, year and a quarter, and it's been pretty, it's been a very well high-selling product. I'm going to leave you with two customer examples before we turn to the Q&A. The first is KBR, and so this was a deal sold by Emmett Cook. It's an internal TAMET service provider deal. So when I was in services, I actually rolled out an earlier version of this product. I know this customer very well. And what we have here is KBR does chargebacks. So they manage all of their, globally, they manage all of their desktops, laptops, software, procurement for IT, et cetera, within TAMET. And they do chargebacks for that. So they charge back for the number of desktops and laptops you have. They charge back for the software that you use. And on the service desk side, they charge back for the number of service desk tickets that you close and the time with which it takes to close those tickets. So the chargeback and billing functionality here was a major component of the deal. I think it's a classic example of an IT internal service provider. As you can see, the total deal size here was roughly $850K. That is the TAMET portion and the internal service provider portion. Obviously, a pretty substantial deal, I think a great sale by Emmett. Second example I'll give you was one that just closed last quarter, I believe, and it's Department of the Interior. It's a Maximo for internal service provider deal. They were an existing customer, existing FM customer, and we sold back into the install base with internal service provider and additional licenses, et cetera, and the total deal size was 96K. So that gives you two examples of internal service provider deals. Gives you a feel for how we can sell greenfield or into the install base and help generate some revenue. So I want to turn it over now to the audience and give you some time to ask any questions.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Please record your first and last name when prompted. To withdraw your request, press star 2. If you have muted your phone, please unmute your phone before recording your name. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please. Your first question comes from Al Layton. Your line is open.
Hey, Don. How are you?
Good, Al. How about you?
Great. Hey, do you know if there is any marketing literature out yet on this product that maybe specifies in bullet format what the functionality is?
Yeah, so like a marketing slick, we do have some. Let me see if I can't dig it up and shoot it over to you, Al.
Okay, that'd be great. Or is it on Blue Pages? Could I...
Yeah,
search and see if I can find it.
It should be. The other spot it might be externally would be the EAM wiki. So we set up Terry Ray actually set up a wiki with a bunch of PowerPoints that folks like you might want to leverage. I can send you that link and I'll send you the marketing sheet as well.
Oh, great! That'd be perfect. Thanks, Don. Appreciate it.
No problem at all.
Your next question comes from Tom Arcuri. Your line is open.
Hey, Don. How you doing?
Good, Tom. How about you?
Good, thanks. Good presentation.
Thanks.
Hey, I had a question for you on slide 13 around the pricing examples. As I understand it, the functionality and service provider provides the ability for customers that are receiving bills to go in and review those bills and do a line-by-line approval or dispute?
That's correct. You have a bill preview screen.
So How do we license them? I mean, if they're a self-service user, a customer, we need to sell them a fully loaded user license?
No, that you don't. And so I didn't provide this in the example, so it's actually a really great question, Tom. The self-service requester license, so if a customer bought three self-service requesters, that entitles them to that bill preview screen, and that's specified in the LI for service provider.
And roughly what's the price on that?
Self-service requester is $100 U.S., I believe, give or take.
Okay, that's great. That's pretty reasonable. And then the second question I had on pricing is, so I understand the changed approach between with the install licenses.
Mm-hmm.
What we find with a lot of our customers is that when they're in a development implementation mode is that they're creating environments all the time. And, you know, they may have, you know, multiple different copies of test and dev and quality and prod and, I mean, all these different things that it strikes me as very challenging for us to accurately license these clients on a per-install basis.
Yes, I agree with you, Tom.
Okay. I gotcha.
The challenge is Tivoli is consolidating pricing metrics, right? They're trying to make it so it is, you know, if a customer bought 50 products today, they'd probably end up with 50 different metrics, if not more, across those products. And so Tivoli's trying to consolidate those and consolidate the pricing rules. So they're trying to use, you know, per install as typically defined for a number for the majority of Tivoli products. You have a little bit less issues like what you just described. So I completely agree with you with what you're saying. I think what we're trying to find is a happy medium. So in this particular case, right, we're trying to find a metric that gets us to roughly the right price point without, you know, something like what you just said. I've got 50 VMs of Maximo, and now I've got to pay for this 50 times. I think there's kind of a within reason law here, but we are looking at, you know, is there a better metric to use or a way to do this so it's maybe just for production or production and a hot backup, something along those lines. It's tough because we can't create a distinct metric just for Maximo. We have to use a metric that's applied across Tivoli. But I do understand your concern. If you've got a specific customer in mind, maybe we can talk offline and figure out a good way to handle it.
Thank you.
No problem.
Your next question comes from Ray Michak. Your line is open.
Hi, Don.
Ray, how are you?
Doing well. You've now explained the mystery of all the broken mirrors in Bedford.
Always Rich Fetcher's fault.
Thank you for that. Hey, one of the questions we often get in the field is about implementation. Have you guys worked with GBS and Skip Snyder's group to talk about how you package this, and do they have a skill set trained to implement this yet?
Yes, good question, Ray. So this has actually been a huge topic of conversation between us and GBS. So there's been a couple efforts. The first is our training department is actually creating a training class for specific to service provider. So that should help with both customers, because that would be something that a customer could take, as well as internal you know, IBMers. So that's the first piece. The second piece is we've actually done now 3 or 4 rounds of GBS training. So we trained one of the folks on Chet Talley's team in lab services to be kind of a point person, and he's assisting on a couple implementations. And then we've also done 3 or 4 training classes that are specific to GBS folks to and some GTS to try to beef up their knowledge on this product.
Okay, great. Who is it in lab services that got trained?
Ray, let me get back to you on that one.
Okay, thanks, Don. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please. At this time, there are no further questions.
Great. I want to thank you all for your time. And if you have any follow-ups, please feel free to ping me. And obviously, this is recorded, and so anybody can make it available at a later date. Thanks again.